Welcome to the Advanced Analytics Podcast. My name is Guy Williams. I'm joined by my brother via the phone, Paul Williams.
Hello.
I forgot his name for a second there. And I'm also joined by my non-brother, but close personal friend, JT.
Hello, someone's brother.
It's time for Advanced Analytics, isn't it? Sorry about that. I'm going to be honest with you guys, I'm having a bit of a crisis of confidence this week. I'm losing my passion for the game, my love of basketball.
Well, that's not a great way to open a basketball podcast.
I realize this is a weird thing to start with.
Are you flat, Guy, or you think the basketball's flat?
Oh, no. I'm good. I'm more of a soccer fan these days. Football. This crisis of confidence was triggered by the place that all crises of confidence has come from. It was twitter.com, where I wanted to support the pod by tweeting out what I thought was a humorous thing that Paul said. He said, I was saying that Dwayne Wade is a good NBA dunk contest judge because he's a legendary former player. And Paul disputed that, saying, you don't go down to the courthouse and the judge is a guy who did a murder a few years ago, which I thought was funny. But anyway, I got a response from a dude named D who said, Guy, do you even like the NBA? Feels like all you do is just complain about it lately. And while I was like, hey, man, that was a joke. It wasn't meant to be a complaint. And I do love complaining. Like, that's one of my passions in life. I felt bad. It was like, it really hit me hard. Like, do I even like the NBA? It's a good question.
Wow. Yeah, this is a real unsurprising twist for the podcast.
Why is it unsurprising?
No, it is very surprising.
Oh, very surprising. Okay, I'm glad you
said surprising.
Yes, I was led to believe you two liked basketball.
So, no, well, if I'm...
I love it.
If I'm... Well, Paul, explain to me why you love it. What do you love about this season so far? What do you love about right now in basketball and the NBA?
Well, this season's fun because it's kind of crazy. Like, it's just insane. Like, you just don't know any game. You just don't know who's going to win. Unless it's, like, the Bucks playing someone, then they'll probably win. But, the pure magic... Jesus Christ. Constant.
All right, you're fired from the podcast. JT.
If anyone's fired, it's you, the guy who doesn't want to talk about basketball.
No. I was just like, give me a reason, something that's interested you this week. JT, you got anything?
Well, yeah, I've got a couple of things, actually.
Okay.
I think Paul's almost onto it. Are we okay for spoilers today? Is there any sort of spoiler policy on this podcast?
Spoilers. I watched the Magic game live, sadly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because I was going to say that to me, the most amazing things are just tune into a game after work, no expectations, and see the Miami Heat upset the Bucks, and very comprehensively.
Knicks upset the Rockets.
Exactly. Well, and that's maybe why I want to put the pause on Rocketman for this week. That was a real dampener.
No, but you've got the passion for the Rockets. They're doing well. Yeah, do you think it was a sign of things to come in the playoffs, or just a one-off blip, the Heat beating the Bucks?
Nah, sign of things, and I think I saw the birth of a superstar today.
Who?
Bam Adebayo. We all know he's good. He's an all-star this year, but man, is he good.
Okay.
He's the ultimate doesn't show up on the score sheet, although he does often get triple-doubles, but he's one of the most versatile defenders ever.
That's a huge claim. He does all the little things. He's a real hustle play guy.
Yep, I saw him block in the fourth quarter. After he put a left hand block on Lopez, and was on the break down the other end to get fouled on a missed layup. But so fast.
Does he?
I love him.
Is he what held Giannis to only 13 points today?
It was a bit of a team effort, but yeah, Giannis, they are pretty good at, they sort of protect the paint pretty well themselves. The Heat really turned the Bucks strategy on themselves, and so Giannis settled for maybe half a dozen threes that were maybe ill-advised, but yeah, he didn't look that great today.
He does seem flawed, Giannis, right? Even though he was most people's MVP last year and on track to repeat again this year, there is definitely... that feeling that maybe in the playoffs when a team starts to maybe focus on his weaknesses, that he won't be able to score quite as freely as he does in the regular season. Even though he'll still be a force and get, you know, 25 to 30 points, he may not be the dominant force needed to have, like, prolonged success.
Exactly. And I'm just really disappointed with myself that I publicly reversed my position on the Bucks only last week.
Don't give up on them, man. I still think they're probably the favourites to win the thing this year, with the Clippers sagging away, don't you think?
No, I'm gutted because I had already given up on themselves, reversed that position, dared to dream, but now I think I should have given up. And the you know, I was right to be.
I don't trust them.
Who's above them?
I don't
them?
Trust them at all.
The Heat, one
Raptors.
Game. Oh, Paul, if you come back with the Raptors one more effing time. Didn't they lose to the Charlotte Hornets the other day?
Yep.
They lost to Denver
but
last
night. They're the Clippers of the East in the sense that they just don't care. Like, none of the players play half the season. They just rest up and then come playoff time, switch it into gear.
I get
the whole squad together.
As a Raptors fan,
trot out Mark Gasol.
Paul, I appreciate your support of the Raptors, but is this a joke or are you still serious on the Raptors being the favourites?
No, I'm serious. The Raptors are coming out of the East. I'm calling it.
Okay. There's a difference between coming out of the East and being the favourites.
Oh, no, not to win it all. I thought we were talking the East. No one in the East is going to win it all.
Oh, you don't think so?
I don't reckon.
JT, what do you think?
Oh, I suffer from extreme recency bias, so I think the Heat are winning the whole thing now. But I think
that's crazy.
He was joking.
No, I'm not joking. Definitely
the thing
not.
About this podcast is we really blur the lines between comedy and reality.
No, I honestly believe it. I believe the Heat could beat anyone in a 7-game series.
Okay, you're off your
not
face.
The Magic. We blew them out by 20 or something.
True.
Okay, so
they actually blew us out then as well. So it could be an interesting series.
If it was only a 2-game series, it would be really tough to call.
We're kind of 3/4 of the way through the season now. There should be a pretty clear picture of what's happening. And I know the Bucks lost today, but in my mind, they've got to be like clear favorites to win the championship. Like, they're a well-rounded team with 2 All-Stars, a solid supporting cast, and a proven track record. You know, they're still lining up to be one of the greatest regular season teams of all time. Why can't they translate that into the playoffs, you know?
I just don't think it's happening. And it also puts in perspective how good that Warriors team was that went 72 and... Wait, 73-9, is that right?
82? Why does it put that in perspective?
Well, the Bucks are miles ahead of everyone, and they're like 50-something and 9 right now, and they just lost to the Heat. It's just,
yeah,
I don't know,
point.
It just shows how
so
amazing
unbeatable.
This...
Yeah. And that Warriors team as well were just... like thrill you every game. Like, they would go behind and then just come back in the third quarter or the fourth quarter and... buzzer beating threes. We really do take that for granted, don't we? It really just ruin it all that they choked in the finals.
And here's a question for you two on the East. Are the Pacers any good? Because I never watch them. But they seem to be like win sometimes.
Look, if you're looking for people who watch NBA games, you're on the wrong podcast, mate.
What was the question?
If you're looking for people who listen to your questions, then you're on the wrong podcast, mate. the Pacers are I don't think they're a serious contender.
JT just asked something. What was it?
Paul, I'm answering the question, trying to throw you a bone.
You'll just let JT say it because your voice
said it
is grating on the ears. We'll say it again.
Sorry.
Are the Pacers for real? The Pacers are for real. Yes.
No.
The Pacers are for real. Come playoff time, and they'll be healthy. They'll be ready.
Paul,
do you think? I don't think the Pacers are better than the Heat, though, right, Paul? You're not making that statement.
I think the Pacers are better than the Heat.
No.
Oh, that's wild talk.
Paul,
I've only seen the Heat play a couple times, and the I'm just not trusting a team that's got some guy, it's like some white guy called Duncan Robinson getting serious minutes.
Okay. Yeah, you got to
Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson.
Duncan Robinson looks like the generated players from 2K like 10 years ago.
Yeah. And his name, Duncan Robinson, that's not...
So I've seen Duncan Robinson probably like 15 times, but if he were to commit a crime and I witnessed it, I couldn't describe him other than like white guy, brown hair, tall. Sounds like a bit like Guy, really.
It's pretty much me. Guys, we've veered wildly off course. Like
From what?
the Bucks have lost one game and all of a sudden we're like giving up on them. Paul's picking the effing Raptors and JT's picking the
I
Heat.
haven't seen I haven't seen enough of the Bucks to fully know why I feel this way, but I just feel like it's a castle built on sand, and
What
come
sand?
playoff
You
time they
gotta
can get
elaborate a
exposed.
little bit. What is that sand that they can't score in the clutch?
I couldn't tell you. Just a vibe.
They're an orc.
Nah, it's just some of these guys, I just don't trust them.
Okay, well,
I'm into vibes.
the statistics would say that the Bucks are in a superb defense, which backs it up with a potent offense. I guess my question mark that I was trying to pull out there was that can they score in the fourth quarter when it counts in the playoffs? But I'm going to say this year, possibly they can. Like, they've got quite a few threats out there. I think everyone forgets about Middleton, and he is a legitimate. Everyone thought he was going to fall off this year, that he got a contract, and I think he's a legitimately great first or second option. And when you look at, Giannis, Ilyasova, the Lopez brothers, I think they probably have enough. But let's look at some other contenders then. Because Paul, the Raptors is just not an option for me, and the Heat is definitely not an option. Like, this is insane. What about the Celtics? Because we've seen Jason Tatum answer his critics, have a massive February, and like install himself as like, a potential franchise player, like his contract predicted.
I always back the Celtics, always.
I just hate the
I still
Celtics.
back them. I think Celtics or the Raptors
Wait,
can beat the.
did you back the Celtics last year?
Yeah, I backed them really wrongly last year. But this year, a certain locker room cancer has been surgically removed and replaced with a locker room antidote. Cancer vaccine in
Okay.
Kemba Walker.
Well, what about your other most hated player, Paul? What Russell Westbrook, the other player who has been a stellar producer in February?
Well, interesting you bring that up today of all days where he lost to the Knicks.
Guys, we can't go on one game. The
Yeah,
Knicks.
we can.
He had a chance. He had a chance to win it, and he didn't.
The
Yeah, but
expansion Toronto Raptors beat the unbeatable 72-win Chicago Bulls. Like, anyone can beat anyone on the off day, it's basketball. And New York is famous for James
It's a
Harden
New York
going out
bump.
on the town. Like, I can see the Rockets losing to anyone on their day,
I will say this. I think the Rockets have become a threat now in my eyes, due to the Covington acquisition. Love Covington as a third piece. Love him. But I will say today they got exposed by just not being able to get a defensive rebound against the Knicks, who would just shoot it, miss badly, just get it again, shoot again, miss badly, then put it in.
Where was PJ Tucker?
Well, he was just 2 feet below where all the action was happening.
JT, you're the Rocket Man. Is it time for Rocket Man?
Yeah, I think we could probably put. I think we could even just have a real micro Rocket Man today, because my only take. Well, at first I was
Shh,
going to crow
JT,
about how.
shush your
Yep.
sweet lips, son. It's time
Okay.
for the tune.
Gonna be a long, long time. Till touchdown brings me round and get to find. I'm not the man they think I am at home.
Rocket Man, burning out of fuel surge, everyone. I'm hearing good things about this segment, JT. It's taking off. Why are you losing confidence in your passion for the Rockets?
Are people loving this? I've actually had some good feedback. So, look, I was just going to come in here and
quote. Why are you surprised? It's a great segment starring you talking about the most exciting team in the NBA who are revolutionizing small ball basketball.
That's right. And so I was going to come in here and read you a box scores one after the other of Robert Covington. But today has really put a dampener on me. That loss to New York. The other thing I was going to say, well, I was going to have a mea culpa to Russell Westbrook. Was I wrong? Was I wrong about Russell? Maybe he actually is the perfect player for the system. But then this loss to New York's really dampened me. But
JT, you are literally unraveling before our eyes. Just because it's one game, it doesn't mean anything.
Guy, you need to calm down. I don't know what's going on today. You need to calm down.
You picked the Raptors to win the NBA championship. That is unacceptable.
No, I picked them to win the Eastern Conference.
That's still unacceptable.
You need to get out of Rocket Man right now. You're bringing a bad energy. JT, I was thinking today, watching the Rockets as they lost to the Knicks, but I was thinking one benefit that I hadn't really thought about, and I don't know if there's any truth to this, but they were giving up quite a lot of offensive rebounds, but also the Knicks were pushing hard to get, like, it was clear they were like, let's crash the offensive boards, and I was thinking how that, while it can hurt, they can give up offensive boards, it also works in their favor in the sense that, you know, a lot of teams will shoot and then everyone will get back quite quickly, but if everyone's targeting the offensive boards and Rockets get it, then it's fast break time, aka where Russell Westbrook really comes into his own, just burning down and just yamming it.
Exactly.
It's kind of works in their favor a bit.
True. So, and you know, Paul, you've actually inspired me to give my serious pre-planned Rocket Man content now. You've actually inspired it back. So,
okay, good.
Yeah, that was really inspiring, Paul. Thank you. So,
okay, thank you.
I just want to read you some some stats here. Okay, and you tell me the player I'm talking about.
Is it Robert
Points.
Covington?
Just let me read it out first. Points, 11. Rebounds, 7. Blocks, 4.
Robert Covington.
Points, 16. Rebounds, 16. Blocks, 3.
Is it Robert Covington?
It's Robert Covington, guys. So, amazing. Robert Covington is, I would say...
Keep
if you
going
just
with the
judging...
stats. We need more stats.
Okay. 20 points, 13 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 block, 2 steals. 3-point percentage, 54.5%. Who am I talking about?
Robert Covington. And what did he do today that made you lose confidence in him?
Now, I haven't lost confidence in Robert Covington, so here are my two real takeaways from Rocket Man for the week. One is, mea culpa, Russell Westbrook, I'm proud to have bought your shoes in America. I've hated you for years, and I like you now, and I like your attitude, and I like how you don't give two stuffs about anyone, and you just run the floor and just attack the paint no matter what. Okay, so that's... So could someone pass on that message to Russell? That's from me.
Do you think he doesn't give a stuff about anyone? Because I always feel that people who pretend they give a stuff about no one actually give a lot of a stuff. That's why they're trying so hard.
Oh, yeah, he's definitely hugely thin-skinned.
I'm enjoying his, like, wrestling persona, though. He's taunting the crowd. He's really playing up that heel stereotype. And the Rockets have been villains for a long time anyway. And I'm quite enjoying that, like, peak Westbrook, like, angry at the world kind of vibe.
And also how he's just... I just love the fact that he's just stopped shooting threes, and now he's super efficient again. So he actually outthought of all of us, because I've been here saying they just need a point guard who will shoot threes, but he's just played 4D chess and stopped shooting threes altogether, and is awesome now.
Do not give him that credit, like, for... The first 4 months of the season, everyone was like, hey, Westbrook needs to stop shooting threes, and he didn't listen to anyone, and eventually, finally, he's done it, and now everyone is proven right with the obvious assumption that a guy who's excellent at driving and terrible at shooting threes should do more driving and less threes.
Yeah, and here's for my final... I've got 2 more points to Rocket Man, and I wish I had done this in different order, because this is going to be a little bit easy to guess now. Who am I, okay? What superstar am I?
Russell
Field
Westbrook?
Goal percentage, 56. 3-point percentage, 42. Free throw percentage, 72.5. Averaging 7.5 rebounds, 5.5 assists, and 33 points. Who am I?
Russell Westbrook.
Correct. That's amazing numbers for the last 10 games.
You know your first quiz guessing game, the Robert Covington one? You actually said, now I'm going to read out some stats from Robert Covington. And then you said, guess who this is, who these stats I'm reading out are.
Okay, well, it's a learning experience. But anyway, but the one negative of Rocket Man, the one negative of Rockets is, Paul touched on it, they are suddenly weirdly getting outboarded. And I don't know whether the Knicks are a bad matchup because the Knicks famously just got signed like a thousand power forwards. The only team that ever, like, unless James Dolan is actually playing 4D chess, knew what Mike Antoni was going to do and planned
for this one game.
He plans to meet the Rockets in the finals.
The whole league's going to go this way. We just got to get six identical power forwards.
Also, just
so anyway,
it's basketball, guys. Like, anyone can beat anyone on their day, and you know, it's not the New Zealand basketball team once finished above the United States in a basketball tournament. Like, anything's possible over a couple of games. It's a 7-game series that we worry about, and that's, I guess, why we have a 7-game series as well. That was a great Rocket Man, JT. Well done, mate.
So, hey, it's not actually. I've got one more thing for Rocket Man, but it's a bit of a segue.
After lowering our expectations with all your chat about how short it was going to be, not only have you provided a quality segment, but you're giving us more. How are we so lucky?
Well, this is a really good one. So, you know how it got me thinking after the Knicks won today, it got me thinking about the New York bump, right? How all these players lose in New York. Allegedly, because they have such a good nightlife.
Yeah.
And then I wanted to ask if either of you have seen the amazing investigative piece that some guy on Reddit did about Charles Barkley and his love of San Antonio woman.
Oh, no, I did not see that.
And so you know how Charles Barkley is, it's actually quite offensive, but always goes on about San Antonio woman and talks about the various snack foods in San Antonio.
It's the worst joke.
Yeah, but someone went through Charles Barkley's whole career and showed that he actually was terrible every time in San Antonio. And the hypothesis is that this is all some sort of cover for Charles Barkley because it's him that overeats and overindulges in San Antonio.
Wow. You're saying he's actually sleeping with the San Antonio woman that he's been mocking cruelly for years?
Potentially.
Wow. Well, I'm glad you've taken the story to the bottom of the barrel. Because I just briefly wanted to touch on NBA Reddit, and they have been obsessed this week with James Harden potentially crapping his pants.
He did, though, eh?
I don't know. I find it a bit puerile that, like, it's this and Reddit jumping on JaVale McGee asking for Zion's jersey and Zion not asking for JaVale's in return. Like, I do think sometimes us people on the internet, we go a little bit far. And when you're zooming in on pixelated ass shots of James Harden lying on the floor to find out whether there's smudges on his white shorts, I feel like we all need to close our laptops and just walk outside for a bit.
What's the thing about JaVale McGee's jersey? I didn't catch that.
It was just that he asked Zion for his jersey after the game. Zion gave it to him, but then Zion didn't want JaVale's jersey back in return.
That's not true. That's not true.
That's so brutal.
No, that's not
What's true.
True? What happened was Zion, JaVale asked Zion for Zion's jersey. Zion gave him the jersey, and then Zion's like, all right, time to go back to the locker room now, and just left. And he didn't.
That was exactly what I said.
No. You said that Zion didn't want JaVale's jersey in return.
What part of that video looked like he wanted his jersey?
No. What I'm saying is, Paul and Reddit are skewering it to make it look like Zion was, like, rejecting JaVale in some way. It's just, he's not, maybe not trading jerseys with people. Like, you know,
okay,
like,
I'm on there now. I'm going to weigh in.
All I mean is that Zion just, he didn't insult JaVale in any way. He just didn't ask for his jersey. Like, if someone asks for your jersey, you give it to him. And it's not polite protocol to go, oh, I better ask for his jersey back now. He just didn't think about it.
I think it is polite protocol to give
it's polite.
Give yours back in return.
So I'm ready to weigh in. I've just watched the video. I'm ready to weigh in. Okay. Thank you, Rita. I'm just on here now. I think Zion didn't think of it.
Thank you.
I don't.
Thank you.
But I think he would have thought of it if it wasn't JaVale McGee. Like, I think Paul's got a point here as well. It's rude. He's a young kid. He needs to be
it's
better.
It's rude not to give.
It is very rude.
No, we've got to get a life here, all right? Zion is a 19-year-old kid who's just going about his life. It's very confusing in a big stadium, and you don't always think, the first thing in your head isn't like, what's the exact right thing to do in the social situation? Sometimes you stuff up, and this is just a minor...
No,
proper.
I don't think people are... Like, I'm not attacking Zion. I just think it's kind of funny. We're not talking about the character. Zion
seems
like the nicest guy.
It's like, JaVale, what a loser that he didn't want your jersey.
I don't think it's really that.
What is it then?
It's kind of funny.
On Reddit, most people are saying Zion's cocky, which I think is pretty
rude. I thought it was just Zion just accidentally kind of didn't really think, and it's just kind of funny. But I think it wasn't even the biggest jersey swap story of the week.
What was
LeBron James and Ja Morant.
Yeah.
So LeBron James, I think, maybe sent his jersey as a power move, maybe. I don't know if it was... I can't quite find it.
I thought Ja asked for LeBron's jersey, didn't he, or something like that?
Maybe. I thought he just maybe sent it to... Yeah, he must have asked. But I like that Ja then sent back his...
No, wait. There's a big difference. He didn't send back LeBron's jersey, right? He sent back
his own jersey. Sent his, yes.
Ja Morant's the sassiest guy in the NBA, and I absolutely love it. Hey,
yeah,
guys,
he's great.
I'm just deep diving this video. I've watched it about 100 times over now, and I've gone right back to the start. So I've got some more evidence to throw in the mix. It looks like real early on, like, it looks like no one is exchanging jerseys at all in these two teams. So maybe the NBA, maybe there's like some sort of unwritten rules that are in effect now. Don't trade jerseys. And then JaVale taps him early on to request the jersey. Zion starts taking it off, and then LeBron comes over, and they sort of break up for a bit. So I think it's more the case JaVale asked for it a while ago, and so the scene we see is just them giving it. It's not rude.
Yeah, thank you. Proven.
Sorry, Paul.
And not humorous in any way. Take that.
Back to what we're talking about. This was the quote from LeBron James. I didn't even know I was getting his jersey, actually. I gave him mine for sure, but I didn't know he was returning the favor. It's just pretty cool. Anyway, I loved it.
So you
it's,
love...
Is,
yeah.
Is giving jerseys a big deal now? Because I just seem to... In my recollection, they always just give like just jerseys everywhere.
No, it's not... It wasn't... It's more of like a soccer or a rugby tradition, and I feel like it only kicked off in basketball, like... A few years ago with Dwayne Wade and Kobe doing it. Dwayne Wade especially. But yeah, it makes sense. It's quite a good idea, I guess.
Yeah.
The NBA weirdly is selling game-worn jerseys now, where it used to be like a charity thing where the team's charity would get it. But now they've just got on NBA.com in the NBA store, you can just buy game-worn like Raptors Finals jerseys. It's kind of cool, but it's kind of sad that just like... Literally everything now is just turned into whatever money it can make on a bidding auction website online, you know?
It's bloody 2020, isn't it?
It's the future, and the future is now. Paul, that was a tough act to follow. Are you ready for a bit of magic mayhem?
Yeah, big time.
Well, it's that time, right about that time, for the stars to roll on out. Paul?
Yeah, is it finished?
There's no music, mate. We're
okay.
Putting it in afterwards. But also, I was just worried that you just heard it was time for your segment and just logged off the call.
No, you started singing along to Rocket Man before, so I assumed you were playing them.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, we'll pretend we're going in now. Big week for the boys. Moved up to the seventh seed. We're climbing the ladder.
Who did you jump, Brooklyn?
I personally... Brooklyn, yeah. And we haven't really been winning many games, but obviously they've been going poor.
Well, would it be fair to say it's more of a case that Brooklyn fell backwards rather than
we're jumping up, man.
How great would it be if the West kept on disintegrating and the Pacers kept on falling back and the Magic fell upwards to the sixth seed or the fifth seed?
Well, here's the thing. I'd love the sixth seed. Personally, I'm scared of the Raptors and I'm definitely scared of the Bucks come first round of the playoffs. But
I love how you had to say Raptors first just to really get it in there.
No, just currently in the seventh seed, we're playing them currently. It's identical to last year.
Yeah.
But
except the Raptors have gotten significantly worse and the Magic have gotten a lot worse.
I don't think the Raptors have gotten that much worse.
They lost the MVP.
Yeah, but now they've got two more All-Stars, guys playing at All-Star level. Okay.
No. But we moved up one more All-Star because Kyle Lowry was an All-Star last year. Or are you talking about someone else?
Siakam, Fred VanVleet's an All-Star. In my eyes.
No, he's not.
He's crazy. Fred VanVleet is awesome.
No, he's good, but he's not an All-Star.
No, well, he technically wasn't, but I think he could have been. Look at their statistical rankings. Kyle Lowry, 29th ranked player. Pascal Siakam, 32nd ranked player. Fred VanVleet, the 28th ranked player.
Wait, what is this ranking?
What's the rankings?
Yahoo Fantasy.
Sick, of course.
What, stats should count for something.
No, they definitely do, Paul. But he's the fourth option on a third seed. You know, he's not.
Then is it not crazy that he's putting up the best stats?
Yeah,
it's more impressive if anything.
No, okay.
Okay, Norman Powell, who's been depressing me for years, is finally good.
Nah, he's back. So one thing I say about the Raptors, Paul, in your defense, is my wife, as you know, a massive Raptors fan. She told me, she started spouting the other day about two months ago, the Raptors were trying to get OG's confidence back. And I was like, he's done. He's out of the team. He's gone in the summer. Yeah. Him and Norm Powell, bloody goodness, they are great. They've turned it around.
Look at even OG and Anunoby. Is this not all-star level play? 32 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 7 steals. He's nearly tripled up.
You can't just put the whole Raptors starting five into the All-Star game.
No, I know. That's why they weren't all there. Otherwise,
he's having one of his career years. Put him in the All-Star game as well.
Well, no, that's why they didn't all get in, because people were like, we can't just trot out the Raptors. But
I love how much you love the Raptors.
Well, I just think they're my team this year for doing damage come playoff time. And last year I was wrong with the Celtics. But this year I think the Celtics still could do some damage. But anyway, moving on, back to Magic, which is what this segment is about. So ideally I'd like us to get the sixth seed just so we'd play Boston first round. But we are 10 games back on the Sixers and the Pacers, so it will be tough to catch that up. But let's move on to some more Magic chat. Okay, Aaron Gordon, I think I said it last week. Aaron Gordon has arrived. He's been putting up crazy numbers. Had his first career triple-double. Not that I love triple-doubles, but it was a good triple-double in a win, I think. And he didn't play today, and boy, did we miss him. We lost badly to the Lillardless Portland Trailblazers. But AG, I also want to shout out, and I did a post on Magic Reddit that went pretty well, 115 upvotes.
Ooh.
Mo Bamba. Okay, Mo Bamba this year, and a lot of people on Magic Reddit are very down on him. They say it looks like he just doesn't care.
A lot of people in the basketball world are down on Mo Bamba, yeah.
He's averaging 5.6 points, 5 rebounds, 1.5 blocks. First glance, you know, terrible. Nothing that impressive. Not terrible. 1.5 blocks is pretty good. But here's what we realize.
If you're pulling out a guy's 1.5 blocks as why they're looking promising, you're really scraping the bottom of the barrel.
Okay, he's playing 14 minutes per game. 14 minutes. That's 13th most on the team. For a team, like, we only play 9 players every game.
Yeah.
He's playing the 13th most minutes.
Yeah.
Inter per 36.
Oh, no.
Okay,
Paul.
Per 36, Mo is averaging 13.6 points, 12.2 Paul. Rebounds. It's a double-double. And
spiraling out of control, mate.
You're spiraling, Paul. I've been
a
in this
league,
position, Paul.
A league
I've been the guy quoting third per 36 minutes, okay? I've been there
league,
with Lonzo.
A league best, 3.7 blocks.
Yeah, Paul, like, you can't just extrapolate a guy out to 36 and say that's why he's good. Like, the reason he only plays 13 minutes for the lowly Magic is because he's not effective when he's out there on the court and the Magic are pushing for the playoffs.
No, that's not true. His plus minus is second best.
Why
the
are they
team,
not
2.
Playing
7.
Him? Why are they only playing 13 minutes then?
Because he's a rookie.
Because he sucks and fitness. He doesn't know what he's doing.
He does.
Isn't
know
he a second
doing.
Year player?
Wait, who said he's a rookie? I said he's a rookie. he's second year, but he's had a hasn't played that much. Yeah.
So
he's just finished his rookie year, basically.
He's 37 years old. He's
not.
He doesn't look like he understands what's going on, which is amazing because they've played a lot of games now. But fingers crossed, it's not RIP for Bamba yet, but it's been a tough
No, he's
going
to be good.
Sorry, you go, JT.
So just one Magic question. Well, really interested in your take, Paul. Did you see the game today?
Yeah.
That how nice was so Markelle Fultz for all the the few people that missed the game. One of the great ankle breakers without actually pulling a move.
Yes. Oh no, he did. He changed direction, and here's what I will say.
But it wasn't
I'm
really
surprised
like a
it's
move.
Not the top of. It was definitely a move. I think he
I loved it.
Went one way and went the other. Here's what I'll say. I'm shocked it's not. It just shows the small market team thing. But if that had been the amount of ankle breakers, and I do that with quotation marks, that get hyped up where it's just someone tripping over the screener's foot or mainly the guy with the ball just pushing a guy over. Like, with his hand. Like, the amount of, like, James Harden broke his ankles. It's like, and then you watch it, and it's just him pushing a guy to the ground with his hand and then stepping back and shooting a three while staring at him or whatever.
Yeah.
There was zero contact from anyone. Markel goes back to his left, genuinely looks like he breaks the ankle. Like, he genuinely looked like he hurt CJ McCallum's knee or something with the change of direction. Unreal.
Okay. Yeah, it was great.
I just briefly wanted to talk, Paul, about a game known as the Magic vs. Spurs. Did you watch this one?
Yes, yeah.
Of course you did.
Heartbreaking.
So, for people who didn't see it, this is how it finished. The Orlando Magic were down one, and they didn't have the ball. The Spurs, legendary Basel team, with probably the greatest coach of all time coaching them, have the ball up by 1 point in the Magic half. There is 8 seconds left in the game. The Spurs inbound the ball, and the Magic, with that legendary best in the NBA when they had Jonathan Isaac. Are they still best in the NBA, Paul?
Sorry, I zoned out for a second, but did you... So this is... Okay. They went to inbound it. They couldn't. Call the timeout. Came out of the timeout. To inbound it.
The Spurs
couldn't.
Yeah.
Had to call another timeout.
Yeah.
Now we're at where you should be.
Sorry, I left out that small detail. Paul, are the Magic still best defense in the NBA?
On what metric?
The
vibe,
points per 100 possessions.
I think the
fantasy
the
basketball statistics per 36 minutes. The point is, the Magic are a legendary defense. The Spurs eventually get the ball in bounds after wasting 2 timeouts on it. 8 seconds left. The Magic swarm the player, get the steal, drive down court. Fultz, I think, kicks to Evan Fournier, who drives through 2 players to shoot a clear open layup and shoots the layup air ball over the hoop to lose the game in stunning fashion.
You're missing a key detail.
What's the key detail?
And this, I'm guessing this is going to come as a plot twist to you.
What was
Here's
it?
What happened. I can't remember if Markel. Someone passes to Evan Fournier. Fournier dribbles in. Patty Mills fouls him, shooting foul, goes uncalled, Spurs win. Refs did not call it, but in the two-minute report, went back and retroactively said he was fouled on the shot, but there's nothing they can do.
So you're saying Fournier was, where was he hit, on his arm or something like that?
Leg.
On his leg?
This is what I've got the 2 minute report right here.
Yeah, Paul, you've also
Mills
got the,
jumps
the,
from
you've point... also got Mo Bamba's 36 minutes and the All-Star report from Fred VanVleet. Like I'm worrying you're in the cult of, you're too deep in the cult of the Magic, and now every time they stuff up, you're
all
just
I'm saying,
them.
All I'm saying is what the referees said.
They're saying that Fournier is fine. He missed the layup because he got nicked.
Mills
on the
jumps. Well, then say that's why he missed the layup, but they said they missed a foul.
You must have been infuriated with Fournier, though. Am I right?
Yeah, but it's fine.
People, I don't feel like shots. People oftenly have any feelings towards Fournier that aren't infuriation or frustration.
Well, that's the weird thing about him. He's actually having statistically like a really good year. He's doing that old contract year Magic thing.
That's not a thing.
Hey, that did remind me though of one observation during the week that I had following our referee chat. Because one thing that really aggravates me is the two, you know, when they do that report, Paul, where they the refs are like, oh, these are all the things we got wrong. Yeah. I reckon for everything, so they do that report at the end of the game, and for everything they did wrong, it's assigned like a point based on how egregious it was, and the teams get points. So like, if there was a foul on a missed shot that otherwise could have won the game, the team gets like 0.1 wins added to their total for the season.
Yeah, right.
Otherwise, what's the point? The refs are just like, it's just quite awkward. I feel bad for the refs. It doesn't really help anyone.
The last 2 minute
keep it
report
to yourself.
does seem like a little bit of a. It was a valiant idea for transparency, but it just seems to really create just like a weird talking point 2 days after the game has been played and no one cares. It's one of the things about NBA games as well. They're so disposable that no one cares about this 2 days later. You know.
And what's that thing in movies? You know, like when if there's like a religious villain, like an evil monk, the scene that you know they're evil is where they're like, you'll see them and they start whipping their own back real hard.
Yeah.
What's that called?
Da Vinci Code.
Is that called flagellation?
Self-flagellation.
No, it's called
It's called Da Vinci Coding.
Chastising. Chastity.
You can call it chastising as well, but self-flagellation.
Whatever
is the term. Yeah.
That's the 2 minute report.
Yeah. Yep.
I don't. All the mistakes I make during the week at work, I don't like blast them out to the whole company. I keep that shit to myself.
Yeah. Good point.
Or blame others.
Yeah. that's always a wonderful plan. It is always a lot easier if you can just blame other people. So just do that. Paul, just before we finish, what's been a great showing at Magic Mayhem, we need to make it negative. I've always got to make it negative, don't I?
No, we got to do Player of the Week.
Oh, yeah, Player of the Week, and then we make it negative, or do we do negativity and then finish on a high?
I feel like the Trailblazers made it pretty negative.
I don't know what the negativity is going to be.
Well, I always, whenever we talk about something that is just amazing, I say write it down so Magic Mayhem can be awesome, and every week you ignore my advice.
No, I know what you're going to say.
The Orlando Magic bullying scandal.
Whoa, what's this?
It's not bullying. It's rookie hazing, and it was from years ago.
It's not torture. It's waterboarding, and it happens in Guantanamo Bay, which is not part of American territory.
Are you going to keep talking?
This is news to me.
The Orlando Magic
taped
J.J. Redick when he was a rookie to an office chair, wheeled him into the showers, turned the water on, and left him there for an hour until a cleaning staff member found him and freed him from his jail.
And look at how J.J. Redick's career has gone. From a guy who a lot of people thought wouldn't even last 3 years in the NBA, he's played.
Do you reckon the hazing helped him?
A lot.
But didn't the Magic sort of ruin his career before it got, like, almost ruin it before it got started?
No. I think not at all.
They didn't play him.
Well, now his rookie year, he played 15 minutes a game.
Paul, who were the perpetrators?
Almost as much as Mo Bamba.
Actually, it's actually identical. 14.8 minutes is actually the identical number he's playing this year.
Paul, do you know
what with JJ Redick? Sorry, guy, you go.
Just who were the players who taped him up to the chair? Do you know?
No. 06-07 Orlando Magic.
Dwight would have been involved.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, I can't really say who was involved. Trevor Ariza was there. Grant Hill was there. Darko Milicic was there. Hedo, of course. Jameer Nelson was probably
Hedo Turkoglu was definitely involved in one way or another, right? Legend. Magic.
Possibly.
Legend. Anyway, Paul, sorry for making it negative. Finish on a high with your Magic.
It's not negative.
Player.
It shaped him into the...
It was pretty negative, but you've managed to spin it.
Player of the week, big time, is Terrence Ross, the Human Torch, T-Flight, I can't remember that nickname.
That's the hard thing about nicknames, it's remembering all of them.
He's over the last four games, he's hit 4.5 threes per game, 23 points, 5 rebounds, 2.3 assists. Man, the guy's just an absolute joy to watch. Love the guy. He's huge for the locker room. A well-deserving player of the week for Magic Mayhem.
Congrats, Terrence.
Congrats, T-Ross. And it should be noted that Scottie Pippen did confirm that the dunk contest judges did conspire to tie another round.
Yeah, we already said that last week. That was on last week's one.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry about that. All right, Paul's had a segment. JT's had a segment. It's time for a little bit of intellectualism now with Guy I've Been Thinking. I've really nailed it this week. I've had great ideas in the past, but let's be honest, they've all been bullshit. Forget all of those out of your mind and lock into this. Professional sports have gone mad, right? The NBA has lost its competitive edge, searching for that money. It's draining players by a long season that bores both players and fans. It's too long. In the UK and in Europe, sports has hit in rock bottom, where the professional game has become a plaything for billionaire petrostates to humanize their horrible regimes through teams like Manchester City and Paris Saint-Germain. Now, in 2020, it is time for a revolution. Bring back amateur sports. Who wouldn't get behind an amateur sports league in the United States of America, where it's the basketball, representing every team, every city in America, with the only rule being you can't pay the players until the end of the season, when all the league's profits are divvied up and paid out to the athletes based on revenue gained and also like how the team finishes, like as a reward for winning the championship, you might get a bonus or something like that. Amateur sports, why not?
Well, people need to eat, and how do people eat?
The sports team would pay for that. So you work a job throughout the week, and then on Saturday you travel to a place.
What if,
and you play a game?
What if instead of working a job, you were studying in classrooms?
You're saying like the college game. Well, the college game is bad because it doesn't pay the athletes anything, but also.
Kind of like an amateur sports league.
I was on your side, Guy, but Paul has absolutely foxed you here.
No. So in college basketball, right, they make billions of dollars and they don't pay the athletes. I'm saying the athletes do get paid at the end of the season. They get like a percentage of the profits, but they don't get paid like a professional athlete does. Like they don't get paid like... they've got to work a normal job. I don't know how you enforce this, okay? And it is quite confusing, I admit. But the vision is that if you just went and supported your Chicago team, watching the elite level talent isn't always the thing. It's like my same philosophy behind the celebrity basketball league. Like, It's not everything to see, like, the most amazing plays or the most amazing athletes. Just the competitiveness, the atmosphere, and the excitement of the sport can be enough. And I reckon there would be more, as opposed to, will Giannis leave Milwaukee? Does Giannis care about Milwaukee at all? Does LeBron care about Cleveland? He just moves to the Lakers. KD just switches teams every 3 years. The amateur league would also be based on where you live. So you have to have lived in the city for 5 years before you can play for that city, for example.
That's crazy.
Bring passion back to the game. Bring a level of excitement that we haven't seen because players are playing for nothing. Imagine if you're playing for everything, for the name on the front, not the name. I'm sounding a lot like college basketball here, eh? The point is, why can't people enjoy amateur sports in the same way they enjoy professional sports? I think there's possibility there.
Yeah, I'd say there is a lot of amateur sports available to watch.
Nah, but not on TV. I guess it all comes down to marketing. I guess my vision is that you need a billionaire to pick up the sports, which we get back into professionalism again, but you need someone to market it and to sell it. A bit like, I guess in the UK they already have this with football, where they have lower leagues. Like there's like five professional tiers in English soccer, but when you get down to the fourth and fifth tiers, they're getting paid pittance. You know, they're basically amateurs. And I would love to see players playing for the love again. And maybe a bit more cheaper ticket prices, more passion in the stands, something that normal people can afford. I think it's a pretty good idea.
I'm out on it. You sort of had me, and then you started talking about the billionaire-funded marketing campaign, and you lost me again.
Well, I don't know how to promote it. Okay, that was it. You can cancel that idea out. Are you with me now?
Yeah, because at a high level, I agree that it's really like totally relative, right? So if we didn't have LeBron James, but we just had the best amateur ever, like amateur LeBron James would still be pretty good.
Yeah, like
so I don't think we're losing that much.
Think about how good like A grade Long Beach or whatever Los Angeles suburb you're divided into. Like how many good players there are just playing in like Long Beach men's A grade. Like, I would like to see those players on an average week. Not only that, their stories would be better than NBA players, because NBA players' stories are all the same, right? They grew up poor or not that well off, and then when they were 13, they got into a basketball program, and they've been essentially a professional ever since. What if you just had people who were just like, you know, working all week as a builder, and then on Saturday they go out there and play sports in front for their city to represent their town? I reckon it'd be awesome.
So, Guy, I can solve this for you, though, right?
Yeah.
You don't need to make the NBA amateur. All you need to do is find a way to put cameras in the Long Beach men's A grade.
Yeah.
Then you can watch it.
Nah, but it needs to be city versus city, I think. Like, you need to be Chicago versus Los Angeles versus New York. Like, a genuine, like, kind of rivalry. And I guess what would happen is that teams like Seattle or smaller teams like Minnesota would just suck. And it would just be like 12 Los Angeles teams versus 6 New York teams or something like that. But I don't know why. I just want to see an amateur sport. But Paul Hazard does have a point that it is very similar just to like the corrupt NCAA system.
Here's Paul Don't Lie.
Paul Don't Lie.
A follow-up segment. NBA offseason. Like, think how, like, the Drew League seems kind of cool.
Yeah.
What if there was just an off-season tournament and it was states or cities, and yeah, every year in LA there's this tournament and they play for their home city or state.
So I've actually expressed this idea before on the podcast. It's called State of Origin, based on the rugby league competition, and yeah, I love that idea too. I think that's great. The problem is you just couldn't get the NBA players to play, which is why I've morphed into my new idea.
I think you could definitely get some. For sure. If they play Drew League, they'll play this.
The other way it fell over was that Los Angeles, I did find, was too strong. But I guess you just have to split Los Angeles up into multiple clubs or multiple sections. But literally, when I looked at the teams based on modern NBA rosters, Los Angeles in the final would probably be Los Angeles A versus Los Angeles B. And there'd be a few weird teams, like if you did State of Where They're Born, like LeBron's Cleveland would have Steph Curry, so that would be a bit better. Akron, but largely Los Angeles would just be way, way too strong.
Yeah, I don't think everyone would play, and it'd be a lot of amateur guys. But
yeah.
Also, there's only five guys on the court.
What I'm trying to get is just a level of passion, which I think is sometimes missing from the American pro game, which is just like, why are you doing this? Do you care? Do you hate your opponent? Or
you
do
should
you...
get into EuroLeague.
You reckon?
Yeah.
I don't think... I think it's just the same as America, right? It's just like a lower level of that, where all the good players just go and play for Barcelona and Madrid and...
No, I think there's a more of a passion.
Yeah definitely.
But also, I think certain NBA teams have good team kind of passion.
Well, there's not many rivalries, you know? It's just like there's a bit too much jersey swapping, I guess, is all I'm saying. Like, I just wish there was a bit more, like, I need to win. A bit more of that Russell Westbrook, like, everyone, me versus the world kind of vibe.
Yeah, but that's why I liked Ja Morant blowing out the Lakers and sending his jersey to LeBron.
You reckon it was a swagger move?
Yeah, everyone did.
Everything Ja does is a swagger move.
Yeah.
He's got the most swag per 36.
I think it was crazy for LeBron to sign his jersey and send it to Ja Morant after getting blown out by the Grizzlies. And then Ja was like, here's mine. Put it up in your house.
Yeah. the way I read into that is that Ja asked for LeBron's. If he didn't, though, that's crazy.
Yeah, it didn't say, but I like to think he did.
Yeah, you got
to
read between the lines. Now, just before we go, we've got fantasy seasons heating up. It's probably time to step into the fantasy forest.
I'm not going to do movie magic this week.
Why aren't you doing movie magic?
I haven't had a chance to watch any new film.
What?
I've been really busy.
But you love films.
I know. I've been really busy.
What's happened to the magic of the movies?
No, it's still very much alive. I actually think, in terms of the cinema, it's quite dead at the moment. Like, the new big release is The Invisible Man. I have no interest in that, in kind of a horror film. All the other movies I've seen long ago.
Okay, well, well, the magic of the movies is dead, and it died on this podcast.
No, it's not dead.
It's dead.
It's not. It'll be back next week. I'm definitely going to go to the cinema.
What's not dead is JT's fantasy playoffs, which are happening right now. Let's step in to the fantasy forest. JT, how's your fantasy team going?
Well, guys, we talk a lot about the Hokey Pokey Cats on this podcast, and great news for the HPC. The boys are in the finals.
Wow!
First time in 4 years.
Congratulations.
After I entered a rebuild, which culminated in drafting Marco and Lonzo 1 and 2, which hasn't been wholly successful, I will admit. I've stuck with them both for years, and I was coming down to the final day of my playoff semi-final against the F Mountaineers. Well, I'm one of my great rivals.
Wow.
I just needed a couple of steals to seal it. And who steps up with 3 steals, 19 points, 9 rebounds and 9 assists, but Lonzo himself.
Wow.
So thank you, Lonzo.
Is Cal still on the team?
Oh, yeah, big time. Markel's
on. Oh, great.
He absolutely bought the heat today with a pretty cool 3 of 9.
So,
7 points.
So tell me this.
Good assists though, right? He had 10 assists.
You've been in this fantasy league for how many years?
Oh, it's been going on a long while. I think maybe 2009-ish, and it's been dominated. We've got a really villainous, really hated team called the Pirates. Actually, pretty ironically called the Pirates, who's one of the worst fantasy villains I've ever seen.
What's so bad about the Pirates?
The Pirates are always swindling themselves, like deals, like tricking people into trades.
Just very much like real life pirates.
Very, it's a lot of piracy. So much plundering. I can only describe it as plundering. And he didn't make the playoffs, so the playoffs are wide open.
Wow. And what happened to him this year? Injuries.
He's a lot of injuries, but he somehow ended up with Giannis, Steph Curry, Anthony Davis, and Victor Oladipo. So looking pretty good for next year because we were in a keeper league.
Wow.
But
surely, are they expensive keepers?
We don't use, yeah, so we don't do that price thing on them, which we need to.
That's
I've been
crazy.
Trying to bring that out.
What a
so you can just keep
league.
Stars.
Yeah, we can keep stars, but
lucky you're well, keeping Markel Fultz and Lonzo Ball.
Well, yeah, well, sadly, I think Fultz might be on his way out, but I don't know if I can break that news to Paul. But anyway, we're in the finals.
Wait, out, it's a, why is he out?
Well, listen to my team, okay? I'm one of the great drafters. As you know, I've got that custom tool, the Sleep Miner, and I listen to my team. And I okay, so listen to my team. Of my potential keepers, I can only choose five of these people.
That's
Luka Doncic, Porzingis, Zion Williamson, Devin Booker, Bam Adebayo,
wow.
Karen Jackson, Jaren Jackson, aka Karen Jackson.
Wow.
And then I've got Markel, Lonzo. It's going to be tough to find them all at home. Miles Turner.
But surely you could just redraft Markel, right?
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be a lot of competition.
I love how Paul is so keen for your team to have Markel. Paul, do you have Markel
you
on your fantasy
have...
team?
No, but I tried to trade for him.
You're a phone.
I'd like to talk briefly. Well, I actually usually have a no magic player policy.
I got more questions.
Personally.
I got more questions here for JT. Oh, yeah. JT, who's been your surprise hit? Who, like, is there a player that you drafted low or picked up from the waiver wire who's helped carry you to the final?
Yeah, so it's got to be Bam Adebayo. Like, I drafted him maybe fourth or fifth. No, I can't remember. I also hoard a lot of picks, so it's hard for me to remember what round I got someone in. But I drafted Bam, and he has absolutely brought it for me this year. And
while you've gone back to Bam, I just want to say that 2 years ago when you got drafted in a magic thread titled Bam, where someone said, I think we should go for Bam at 25 and look to offload Bismack, I commented, I wanted Bam real bad with an exclamation mark. So I knew.
Wow.
And I just want to say a good luck to my finalist opponent, who's a listener of the podcast, who has tried to instigate a campaign of hate against me in the group thread, but I'm rising above it, and I just want to wish him all the best.
So, wow, what a wonderful competitor you are. It starts today, does it, or yesterday?
Nah, yeah, it started today, first day today, so 2 weeks to go. So I'll hopefully, and if we win, I'm gonna get five Hokey Pokey Championship Cats t-shirts printed. You two can have two, and I'm going to give three away as a podcast competition.
What? That is a huge,
Paul can help design them.
A huge statement there. This is massive. So how are you feeling about your chances? Are you feeling confident?
I don't want to give too much away. I'm a bit like Paul because I know Cam listens. I know he'll be passing through this podcast trying to get any insight. But I'm confident. I'm confident.
Now there is a common thing that I've noticed in fantasy basketball. You mentioned that he's trash talking you. There's a common situation where everyone who's lost doesn't give a shit about the league anymore after that. Are you saying the people who have been eliminated still kind of care?
Yeah, we've got quite an innovative bottom half competition where the people that aren't playing for the playoff are playing to get the first pick of the draft.
Wow.
So it's still alive.
Wait. Who gets the first pick of the draft? Like the team who does the
best out
of the rest
of teams?
Who
wins the mini tournament?
Yeah, who wins the mini non-championship tournament.
That's madness.
And guess who's... Yeah, and guess who's going to win it? Bloody Pirates.
Bloody Pirates! It's ridiculous.
Nah, it's good. It keeps everyone in the hunt.
Involved.
So you literally, but you literally reward the teams that miss out on the playoffs but are good.
Yeah. So what the strategy now is, most people are trying. What you want to do is stay on the bubble between sixth or seventh, and right at the end of the season, if you think you can't win the championship, just try and come seventh, and then you're well positioned for a run at the loser bowl.
And tell me this: is your final championship over 2 weeks? Did you mention that before?
Over 2 weeks, and we're both one-time winners, so we'll have our second ever two-time winner 2 weeks' time. It's pretty exciting.
Wow.
For the Lazy Greyhound Memorial League.
Wow, what a grueling and exciting final. JT, I wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Now I'd like to talk a little bit about the Nelson Suns.
Paul does not wish you all the best. He's like, I'm the star of the segment.
No. I definitely wish you all the best.
Oh, you didn't say that.
The sister team of the Nelson Sons. I don't know what your team's called again. Something Cats.
Hokey Pokey Cats.
The Hokey Pokey Cats.
Allegedly.
No, the Peanut Butter Jelly Cats. What are they called?
I'd like...
The Peanut Butter's Bad Jelly.
Oh, yeah, that's all right.
Oh, what's the Hokey Pokey Cats?
That's what I thought it was called last week.
Ah, okay. But anyway, we're coming off a big 7-2 win against the worst team. But I'd like to shout out a player who both our teams have, Miles Turner, 18 blocks in the last four games.
Holy
I think
shit.
He's on your team, right?
He's back, baby.
He's back.
How's he
he's
per
back.
36, though, compared to Mo Bamba?
Well, not as good, because Mo Bamba's best in the league at blocks per 36. So, yeah, take that for data, quote David Fizdale. But here's what the big storyline. So here's the thing. I've had a kind of rough season, but I went crazy. I've tried to go mainly a point guards team, and I've had some injuries and a little bit of bad luck with Mike Conley being terrible. But I'm scraping into the playoffs, and I think I'm peaking at the right time. Like, I'm confident that I can upset anyone come playoff time. The issue is it's 1 week in my league, so it's really, you have a little bit of luck. Trade deadline just passed, and I was disappointed not to trade anyone, and that's my fantasy tip for the week. If you need to stop thinking late in the season, oh, this player is going to come right. If they haven't come right and it's late in the season, move on.
Yeah.
And I wanted to I wanted to make a trade. I couldn't, and I'm stuck with Josh Richardson basically now is what I'm saying. And I think I'm going to drop him and just pick someone else up.
Has he not improved with Ben Simmons being out injured?
Kind of. I think he's just not shooting free throws well, which is critical. I have to win free throws. Because I absolutely will not win field goal percentage. But here's the big storyline from my fantasy league. The all-time winningest season was me. Wait, that's not right.
Man, you built this up so high.
Oh, what a storyline.
I have the winningest season, but it's saying it was in 2019, which was last season. And that wasn't my most winningest season. I didn't even finish first in the league last season. But anyway, 120 wins in the season is the record set by me. I'm sure it was like 2016 or something. This year, the leading team, D's Nuts, the defending champions, they got off to an incredible league.
Are you playing against a 12-year-old boy?
Possibly. He got off to... No, I actually know him. He got off to an incredible start, winning his first 10 weeks in a row. And he's hit upon hard times recently, because originally I was like, he's going to smash my record. But now he's got 3 weeks left, and he's got to win 17 categories, which I think is only six a week, but still he's looking shaky. But it's huge. I don't even want to bring it up, because then he'll start trying real hard, because I don't think he knows he's going for it. I want to keep that record.
I don't think you're going for it. As you said, the official record book is skewered. But anyway, good luck for defending that record, Paul. Just before we go, guys, and good luck to JT again. I wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Who's your fantasy player
Paul,
of the week?
Paul, again, doesn't mention good luck to JT.
I would like to give my player of the week, actually.
Yeah.
That's a really good one. You know what? It's really... I know it was only one game, but I'm going to give it to Lonzo. Those steals, he's like I knew I needed them, and he got seven over 2 days. Two games, got seven steals, really brought it home for me. Thanks, Lonzo.
I'd like to... I mean, I wish I could almost three-way split this, but I'm going to split it between my two most recent pickups, both of them guards. Kobe White for the Bulls, who with Chris Dunn going down, I picked up because I knew he was going to get unleashed, and he put up monster games... He hit seven threes in one game, five in the next, six in the next, four in the next, scoring 33 points, 33 points, 35 points, and filling out the rest of the stat line well, including turnovers. But him and Steph Curry, who hit eight threes in a game, and I think is currently the best three-point shooter in the league, he had 37 points. Crazy. Players of the week. Shout out to those guys.
Steph Curry.
Yeah, Steph Curry. Oh, right. Oh, sorry,
did they say Steph?
Oh, sorry.
No, Seth Curry's unreal, man. He's been balling out.
For who does he play
in
for?
His last...
Portland.
Dallas.
Dallas. Best three-point shooter in the league.
He scored 64 points in his last two games.
Oh, great. I'm just not, for some reason, just numbers just wash for points just wash over me now because the games are so high scoring. It's scoring 30 points is no longer that great an achievement, but good to hear Seth Curry is doing well. Just before we go, and I know I'm weirdly obsessed with this, but can I just get championship...
A little chat about the British Premier League.
No, yeah. NBA champion predictions. I want to hear from everyone. One team only. I want to hear at the start of the season who you're predicting, just to remind people, and who you think now. I'll start. Is everyone okay with this?
Yeah, definitely.
Paul?
I would like a little more time to make
right now make one, and then next week you can make a better prediction. Just feel it in your heart, just like how you dismiss the Bucks with your heart. I'm going to say right now that my name is Guy, and at the start of the season, I was strongly picking the Clippers, but now that I've watched three quarters of the season, I am now strongly picking the Milwaukee Bucks to be a first-time champion. JT, hit me.
Okay, my name's JT, owner of the Hokey Pokey Cats.
Hi,
and
JT.
At the start of the season, well, like 5 weeks ago on this podcast, said the Nuggets, and now I'm saying the Rockets, and I'm saying the Pelicans will get the 8th seed.
Sick. Oh, I love that little bonus prediction. That Nuggets one was predicated on them getting like another piece, right, eh?
Exactly, yeah, that was with trade.
Because it is quite an odd prediction. But we should talk about the Nuggets more on this podcast. Since Andrew hasn't been on, we haven't talked about them much. We need to bring back those fields of gold. All right, the moment of truth. Paul Williams, stepping up to the mic. Let us have it.
Hi, I'm Paul Williams, and I wish I could spend a little more time looking into
the numbers. Well, next week you can.
Numbers.
Next week you can. Just give us something now.
At the start of the season, I said the Clippers were going to win. And at this very second, I haven't seen them play a game, but I think I'll stick with the Clippers.
You haven't seen them watch play a game, but you're like, I've got a good feeling about them.
Well, just on paper, they're stacked, right?
Yeah. Okay. Well, all right, cool.
Like they've only gotten stronger as well by adding one of the Morris twins and Reggie Jackson.
But have they not looked a bit... Well, Reggie Jackson's trash. Have they not looked a bit shambolic this year, though? Are you not worried they're not going to get it together or Paul George is going to be so injured? Because Paul George...
I feel like surely Doc Rivers will get them together and they'll... I feel like they're just kind of coasting and resting guys and I don't know what's going on, but obviously me predicting them winning is predicting that they've got everything under control and they're just coasting till the playoffs and then they'll unleash their full lineup.